you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to 1 John chapter 5. We're going to cover two verses today in 1 John chapter 5, so go ahead and get ready. If you don't have a Bible, we're glad to hand you one or some on the table back there. A couple things I want to mention before we get into our text today. Our Summer Wednesdays, a lot of fun. Wednesday nights at from 6 to 7:30. We eat together. We study together. The kids do a great program together. If you haven't noticed, in the children's area across the foyer, look in there. Things are changing in there. Not this week, but the next Wednesday night is our Summer Jam, which is for families, and they're going to be, we hope we can fit everybody in over there. If not, we'll swap with them and put the adults over there. But it's a really fun time, something for teens, something for all ages, and a really great time of fellowship. So come on out, Summer Wednesdays, 6 to 7:30. I'm going to teach a membership class next week. If you'd like to find out more about how to partner with us, that's from 4 to 6. It'll be a Zoom meeting. Just sign up by emailing info@tworiverschurch.com. And then I just want to say Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there, and give them a round of applause this morning. And has been our habit for the last several years anyway. We're going to make a donation to RCS in the name of, in honor of all the dads and godly men who are part of our church family here. So we're glad to do that. Rather than, you know, give you a, I don't know, Sharpie, I don't know what we could afford to give everybody. We're just going to make one big donation to RCS, and that'll go a lot further. I'm kind of a fan of illusionists or magicians. Anybody else here kind of like that kind of thing, right? If you watch, I don't watch a lot of these shows, but I'll stop and watch America's Got Talent when they have a magician on there. And typically every year they'll have one. And I think this guy actually won it a couple years ago. I'm not sure about that. It's not the big illusion that I am really impressed with. You know, like the guy who made the Statue of Liberty disappear a few years ago. I don't remember who that was, but you know, it's like a big TV production, or when you do these big productions on stage and, you know, the guy is in the box and then all of a sudden he's in the balcony. I mean, that's okay, but it's not my cup of tea. What really impresses me is sleight of hand stuff. Like to be able to make cards kind of just, you know, at will. I mean, that take to me, now all the other stuff takes a lot of planning and you have to think about how to, you know, get the guy out of the box. I don't know, you know, like get him up in the, you know, in the balcony, but to be able to just simply with your hands do a trick, a magic trick or something, you know. I remember a guy named David Blaine. He had a television show, it was like Street Magic a few years ago. And I like to watch him because he would blow people's minds by producing a card that seemed to be in one place, you know, like and it was in a person's back pocket. And then somehow he would always like regurgitate it. You know, like I don't know why it was always like coming up out of his, you know, stomach. But anyway, that's what he did. And that kind of stuff is amazing. I mean, we have the amazing Emily up here from time to time doing magic. And so we love that. A few years ago, I was in New York City. It was when I just graduated from college. I don't remember when it was. It was right around the time I was getting out of college. And I went up to New York City. A buddy of mine went to work with a missionary, a guy who was working in New York City, did ministry. He did some street ministry, did some homeless ministry. He took us all over New York City and showed us, you know, what was going on and what their ministry was involved in. And one day, I believe we were in Times Square, and there was a guy doing this little shell game. You know what I mean by shell game? Like he moved the stuff around, and then you say, well, the ball's under this shell, and, you know, and he would do it. And my buddy was like, he was dialed in, like he was all over it. I'm in those kind of situations, especially in a big city I'm not used to. I'm like, this, I'm not getting in the middle of this, you know. So I'm like, hold my wallet, you know, like somebody's getting ready to come pickpocket me. Like I'm that guy, like, I'm scared to death. So he's kind of into it, and we stood there for a bit. And eventually, my buddy said, "I know where it is." Like that was kind of the game. Can you figure out where it is? And so the guy's like, "Well, if you give me $20, and if you're right, I'll give you $100." And my buddy's like digging for his money. You know, like he said, I got this thing figured out. He threw $20 on the table. He said, you know, he was just very confident he could follow the, you know, the shell or the ball under the shell. And unfortunately, when he picked the shell, it was not there. Like it vanished. Somehow the ball was not where he thought it was. And he was not happy he lost $20. He nearly turned over the cardboard table the guy had set up out there in Times Square. And truth be told, we found out later, the game is a complete scam. It's all sleight of hand. In other words, no matter which shell you pick, it's in the ball is already in the guy's hand somehow, and you don't know it because you think you're following the game, and they're very good at this. They hide it. When you think you've won, you've actually lost. Now, if this guy were a magician and the ball ended up in my buddy's back pocket or somehow my buddy regurgitated, and then I would have given the guy $20, you know, like, that would have been pretty good. But his sleight of hand trick seemed like he was scamming my friend, and my buddy got kind of mad about it. But both magicians and illusionists and scam artists, I guess, you know, take a lot of skill and a little bit of bravado, right? A little showmanship. One's a scam and one is entertainment. But we don't always see the difference, do we? And since it was my buddy who lost the 20, they were both entertainment to me, right? Like, it was just fun to be there. This morning, as we wind down, we have two more weeks, today and next week, through 1 John. I want us to see the difference. I want us to really, I want to kind of lay things out. John lays things out very plainly about the world that we live in. I want us to consider just two verses, and we're going to start with verse 19, and then we're going to go back to unpack verse 18. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 says, "We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one." John says there are two distinct things going on in this world. Like, see the difference. Your eyes should be open. There are those who are Christians and are called children of God. But the entire world is under the control of the evil one. Sadly, those in the world are not of God, are not children of God. For when someone rejects Jesus, they demonstrate who their father truly is. John chapter 8 says, verse 42, Jesus said to them, "If God were your father..." Now he's having kind of a disagreement with some of the religious people, and there, this is getting sort of closer and closer to Jesus and Calvary, and Jesus is being more bold, and those who oppose him are being more vocal. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I've not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you're unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding on to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Now, how do you think that fell on the people listening to Jesus that day? The religious, the teachers, right? See, anyone who is outside of Christ, who has not accepted the gift of forgiveness of sins, the gift of eternal life, they remain in their sins and they remain under the sway of Satan. I don't know how to say it any more plainly. That is the world that we live in. Do you see the difference? Now look at verse 18. Let's unpack what it means for us as Christians to live as children of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18 says, "We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them." Three things, I think, in verse 18 that distinguish between those who are children of God and those who are still under the sway of the enemy. First of all, whoever is born of God does not continue to sin. John says, we know that anyone who is born of God does not continue to sin. Notice a couple things here. John does not say that those who are born of God never sin. He says that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. Now there is, I think, a bit of a difference. Romans 3:23 says, "For all, including all of us, have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So that we know that we have a certain problem as humans living in this world, in a fallen world where there is opportunity to sin, we all fall prey to that from time to time. And that's why we need Christ. Because in the eyes of a holy God, it's not the size of the sin, it's sin itself that separates us from his purity and holiness. So Jesus bridges the gap between us and God. That's what we call grace. That's what we call mercy. He did that for us even though we didn't deserve it. So we know that we've all sinned. Paul says that to the church at Rome. And John has said, if you remember back in chapter 1, verse 9, that those who are Christians still sometimes sin, and there's relief for that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. But the fact that we have sinned and we sometimes sin doesn't give us a license to sin. Right? You remember the Bond movies? He had a license to kill, right? What did that mean? It meant that he had carte blanche. He could do what he could make a decision in the moment against the bad guys. Well, we don't have carte blanche to do whatever we want. We don't have a license to sin. We should avoid sin. Just because we have sinned and we do sin doesn't mean that we should sin or it's okay to sin. Can I be any more clear? Alfred Plummer said, a child of God may sin, but his normal condition is one of resistance to sin. That's the way we should approach this world. And here's the point. We should be different than this world that we live in. We should be different in this regard than the people around us. We should try to avoid continuing in sin. We're children of God. We shouldn't get along in this world in the same way as those who are still under the power and sway of the evil one. There should be a difference. I want us to see the difference today. Here's a simple outline of how to stay away from sin as a Christian. Now, remember, we're not trying to stay away from sin to earn salvation. That has been given to us freely by Jesus. Right? Nothing we can do to earn that. But because we're saved, we should try to stay away from sin. First thing we need to do is pray. Ask God to keep us out of those situations, away from those temptations, away from those things that might lure us into, right, Satan's sway. Study. Look into God's word. Fill ourselves with God's word. What did Jesus do when he was tempted, right, in the wilderness? He quoted scripture. Right, if Jesus used that as a tactic, then we too should know God's word and keep it close to us. Study God's word so that we can remove ourselves from temptation. We should surround ourselves. Now, you can't possibly do that alone, right? You can't possibly surround yourself. So what do we mean by that? Surround yourself with others, right? Be here, be connected. Have you ever thought about even Jesus didn't do this world alone, right? He had at least 12 that we now call apostles, but 12 disciples when he was here on this earth that he spent a lot of time with. And of those 12, there were three that he was really close to, Peter, James, and John. And of those three, there was one, John, who's writing this letter that I think was Jesus' best friend. See, we need some friends around us. That's why Summer Wednesdays is important. That's why small groups are important. That's why getting connected, even serving here at Two Rivers is important. Why? Because you put yourself with other people who are trying to do the same thing. And none of us are perfect. We're all sort of working through this together. Even Jesus had a group of friends. Then we need to remove those things that are tempting us and replace them. You can't just leave a void. It will get filled with something. But we need to replace it with something good. Right? Remove sin, replace it with service. Remove sin from our lives, replace it with praise. Remove sin, replace it with fill in the blank. Right? Replace it with something that will lead us closer to Christ. And then finally, plan. We have to have a plan. I tell, when I was in youth ministry, I told our students all the time that you have to decide before you're in a situation what you're going to do. right? When you're lured into a place that you might sin, when you're tempted to go to a place that you might sin, you have to decide. Sometimes we find ourselves, right? We didn't go there on purpose, but that's the enemy, right? He tries to tempt us. He tries to lure us away from Christ. So we have to have a plan before we get in those situations. What will I do in this situation? Decide before, make a plan. So God wants us, right, to live as his children, and his children do not continue to sin. We don't continually live in sin. We might make some mistakes. We're not perfect. None of us have ever been perfect, but we do not continually sin. Secondly, the one who is born of God keeps them safe. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. John says, we know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps them safe. Now, some translations render this, anyone who is born of God keeps themselves. But the NIV says, the one, with a capital O, who was born of God, that's Jesus, keeps them safe. So I believe either way you translate this, we as individuals bear some responsibility in keeping ourselves from sin. Right? You don't become a Christian automatically, you're never tempted again. You don't become a Christian and you never have the same desires or lusts. You're not removed from this world and the carnal nature of this world. Right? But it is also true that we are safe as long as we're in the arms of Jesus. He will keep us safe for eternity. Listen to what Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 3. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Right? We are shielded by God's power. How? Through faith. We have an active part in this being kept. It's continuing in faith. Tuesday afternoon, I returned from a couple days on my motorcycle with some of the guys from our motorcycle ministry, Brothers First Motorcycle Ministry. If you have a motorcycle, you love bikes, or you're a guy, don't have a bike, we'd love for you to join us. We meet once a month. It's a great group of guys. And a couple of us went on a little, went out to Maggie Valley, kind of over towards Pigeon Forge, rode some really twisty roads and hills that we don't have here, and it was fun and had a lot of fun. And I got home Tuesday, sort of a little after lunchtime, and when I got home, I realized Bonnie had taken the day off. She told me she was going to take some days because her calendar year with her work ends in June, and so she needed to use or lose some vacation time. So I was tired, but since she was off, we talked about maybe going over to Emerald Isle, sitting on the beach for a couple hours. Our girls were out of town with the youth group in Tennessee at a conference, and so we looked at the weather, and it said what it always says here in eastern North Carolina this time of year: chance of thunderstorms, right? And you know, like I know, that sometimes means it's going to be a thunderstorm, and sometimes it means it can be a thunderstorm here, and it's perfectly fine over there. So we looked at the radar, looked like there's a little bit of possible rain between here and Emerald Isle, but the beach looked clear the whole time, and you know, you just don't know. So we get to Pollocksville, and it begins to rain, and then it begins to rain hard. I mean, like the kind of rain where you don't know if you should pull off, if you should, you know, just stop where you are, which is probably not the right idea. I mean, it was like Bonnie was driving, so I was like, she's like, what do I do? I'm like, I have no idea. Like, I guess keep going slowly, put your blinker hazards on. It was so hard that you couldn't see the road, and then it began to hail. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a car when it hailed on you, but I thought the windshield was going to break. Right, I was like, there's no way we're going to get out of the car and the car is still okay. It's going to be dented. Like, it felt like it was just rocking that car. And the wind was blowing and there was debris kind of coming across the road. And I remember watching the movie Twister. And I'm like, I'm in the movie. At any moment, I thought a cow was going to go by, if you remember. You know, like, it was that kind of scary, and it was a lot scary. And neither of us knew exactly what we should do. Should we pull over? Should we get off the road? Should we kind of keep going? Should we get in the ditch? I just had no idea. And here's what we decided. Stay in the car. It feels safer here. Be aware of what's happening, and be really, really cautious as we move forward. And see, I think that's what we should do in this life. Stay in the protection of Jesus. He keeps us safe. John promises that. As his children, he will protect us. But be aware of the world around us, right? Our eyes should be open. The world is under the sway of the evil one. And then be cautious moving forward. Jude says it this way. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Keep yourselves in God's love, right? Stay in the protection of Jesus. But be aware and be cautious. As long as we stay, he will keep us safe as long as we stay in his protection. Finally, John says, whoever is born of God, okay, back to talking about us as Christians, is not, will not, will never be harmed. Look at verse 18. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. See, when we cooperate with God, Satan has no chance. When we stay in his protection, the evil one cannot harm us. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When we submit to God, when we resist the schemes of the enemy, then he'll flee from us. Okay, I'm getting nowhere here. I'm going to go somewhere else. Right? This person is kind of entrenched. He's protected. I'll go find somebody else. There's plenty of fish to fry, so to speak. For God who is in us is certainly greater than the devil. John told us that, 1 John 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who's in you is greater than the one who's in the world. See, there is no power in this world that is greater than the power that's in us as Christians, and that's Christ, that's the Holy Spirit living in us. We are not powerless. We are powerful in Christ. And instrumental in our cooperation with God is allowing his word to abide in us. Again, back to 1 John chapter 2. I write to you, dear children, because you know that the Father, I write to you fathers because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you young men because you are strong and the word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one. All right, great verse for us today is fathers. I write to you children, I write to you fathers. And we all as children of God can stay strong as long as the word of God lives in us. As long as his word abides in us. Do you see the difference? There's no sleight of hand. Those who are in Christ do not continue to sin. We're safe in him and will not be harmed. But this world is under the sway of the enemy. And in Christ, we have safety. Friday night, Jerry and Kim Briel invited Bonnie and I to go out on their boat for a couple hours. Bonnie and I grabbed a sub and a cooler and met them at Lawson's Creek at the boat ramp. We put out into the Trent River. And because it was a little windy, Jerry said, we're going to go over to the new side, kind of up towards Hatteras and then up towards the Weyerhaeuser. And it was a pretty night. It was warm. It was a beautiful sunset. And when we had gotten up around where Hatteras Yachts is located over on the Neuse, we noticed that there was a boat that was kind of over a little outside of the channel and looked like they were stuck. They had water kind of sputting up. They weren't going anywhere. And they all looked a little like frazzled, right? And you see, in that part of the Neuse River, the channel is fairly narrow. It's deep enough for boats to travel, and even big boats. I mean, Hatteras brings those beautiful motor yachts out there, but you have to stay in the channel. You have to stay in that narrow channel right there. So this other boat had gotten outside of that channel, was bogged down in the sand and mud, and we didn't want to just leave them there. So we tied all the rope that Kim and Jerry had on the boat, we tied together, and I was elected to be the one that got out of the boat. Right? I don't remember getting the vote, right? It was a rigged election. But I was the one who was elected. Like, I won. I wish my parents were still alive. Tell them, I won the election, right? What's funny was I put on the life jacket that they had in there that was way too small. It was, I don't know what it was. I mean, I know I'm kind of a buff guy, you know, but it said adult on it, but it was like putting on a child's thing, you know. So I got it, I was like, I don't want to swim. I'm an old guy. I don't want to swim over there 50 feet and be tired and, you know, drowned out here trying to rescue somebody. But what was funny, I jumped off the boat into the water expecting to swim over there. It was like this deep, you know, like, which makes sense because they're stuck. You know, like, there's not a lot of water over here. So I go traipsing across there with a rope and this tiny life jacket on and get to their boat, and I realize... I know I look crazy, but, you know, like, I'm the hero, right? I have to play my role. I know why I got elected, because I'm that guy, right? I'm just the hero kind of guy. So I get over to the boat. We begin to pull the boat off the sand, but the rope came untied from Jerry's boat. He had to be careful that he didn't get lodged in the same, he didn't get too close and get run ashore the same way this other boat had. And so the line we had tied to both boats came off of Jerry's boat, so... he kind of circled around, and while they're circling around, I do what heroes do. I just pulled the boat off there. Like, I used my Superman strength, and I just pulled that boat sort of off of that, kind of dislodged it, and then we did tie it, and then Jerry pulled the boat out there back into the channel, right? I wade back over toward our boat to get in, and it takes him a little while to kind of get back around to me. I get in the boat, and I think, I am the man, and I ask one simple question. Did anybody get video of me pulling that boat off the thing? Because at this point, it really is about me, right? You know, like, let's just be honest. Here's the truth. There is safety and shelter in Christ. We just have to stay in the channel, right? Sometimes we might have to venture out into the fray. Why would we do that? To rescue somebody else. That's the only reason, right? And even then, we're still under the control of Christ. But we got to stay in the channel. You know, people sometimes look at us and say, oh, Christians, they don't have any fun, or they're shackled by, you know, all these rules, regulations. No, we're just staying in the channel that God has for us. We're safe. Where we're under his protection, where we can look forward to eternity with him. Will you pray with me? God, we love you. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for how you've loved us. And Lord, I thank you for just the good friends that I have here in this room as a part of our church, and those watching online, and people who are watching from literally all over the country. Lord, friends that I can rely on. Friends that I can get in the trenches with, because we know that this world is not our home. Lord, help us to believe and know that you are our protection. But we have to stay in the channel where you are. God, I pray for those who might be maybe in the fray right now. Maybe those who have never experienced your goodness, your grace, are still living in a world that's controlled by the enemy. And still living under his lies and deception. So God, I just pray that you would help us to know that you are our God, that we are your children. Lord, help us to stay away from sin that lures us out away from your protection. Lord, help us to recognize that we're safe as long as we're there under your care. Lord, because we know that under your protection, we cannot be harmed. So, Lord, we look forward to this community where we can encourage each other. And we look forward to the day when you'll come back and take us to be where you are, that we might have eternal protection and love for our lives and for as many as we can pull into your protection. God, thank you for today. Thank you for this beautiful lesson from the Apostle John. Lord, help us to live this out. In Christ's name we pray.